Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Today was a lot better than last week. Monday was really good. Tuesday was good. Wednesday was good. We're practicing well. Sooner or later, that kind of work is going to lead to results. But I'm just pleased that we were better this week than last week.
Well, will Saturday be good? Welcome to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. We are high above the rail yard as we get you ready for Nebraska-Purdue. Going to be a gorgeous day, maybe a little football-esque. Gorgeous is a relative term. We'll see if Nebraska can get on track. Just across the way in front of Pinnacle Bank Arena, the Big Ten Network, their tailgate setting up. It was awesome.
It's right there. We can see it. We can see the back of the stage.
Yeah, Coach DiNardo is getting all...
Is he coming by?
He couldn't yesterday. We had him on yesterday. Yeah. He was on to kick off the show from
things to do, huh?
The graduate. Yeah, so Coach DiNardo's getting ready. Going to be an awesome time at the BTN tailgate. We want you to swing on by and don't throw anything at us, but wave, a normal wave, not a one-finger salute.
Stanley Jackson coming by?
I don't have a contact for Stan, so I didn't ask him. But we can send you over there during the Christian Gaylord interview and say, hey, Mark Kranak, Eric Stratton, damn glad to meet you.
We can spend our entire show on the Christian Gaylord interview.
Okay, you want to?
We can.
Okay.
Like, there's enough in there. That was remarkable. You can set up the show. Sorry.
No, fine. You're fine. We'll get there. That is Mark Kranak. We see each other once a week, and we miss each other. Chris Gorman is going through mail.
Male hormone replacement
therapy? No.
Oh, mail!
He's checking mail.
Actual mail.
We are just outside the Hail Varsity offices. Is that a flask already? Beautiful. No, but we want to see a pop down here in the rail yard here till 9 this morning. And then don't forget Real Red Reaction right after Nebraska defeats Purdue. And we'll have that, you say the game will probably wind down 6 or so.
Oh, people are going to be so pissed when Nebraska is 0-4.
Myself and Danny Burke and Willie J will be handling that. So, full day of football on ESPN Lincoln. And coming up in the program here on Hail Varsity Radio, our rewind will feature Nebraska offensive tackle Christian Gaylord. Spent, more than 10 good minutes with him.
Yeah.
His journey, his thoughts, and the direction of the program. Really, really good listen from Christian Gaylord. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogue's had an incredible story yesterday, and it's titled A Tale of Two Turnarounds, One Still Very Much in Progress. A must-read for you this Saturday morning. So Brandon Vogel with us, and then the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will be with us at 8:30. You can still vote on the fan poll, HailVarsity.com. Which game will be Nebraska's first win of the season? Purdue,
that's
Wisconsin, Northwestern, Minnesota, or Bethune?
There's no Cookman. None of the above?
No.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of presuming happening on that poll.
Hey, I think today is going to be the day, and it's a different week.
Oh, of course.
It's a similar week to the Colorado week. You heard Coach Frost talk about that, how it's been a really good week of practice, similar to the Colorado week. And how about you see 20 minutes like you saw against Colorado, where you were down 14-rip, and you went to halftime up 21-14 from a passion and energy and enthusiasm standpoint. That has been lacking the last couple of weeks. Can Nebraska turn it around?
Oh, jeez. You're asking the guy that went to Ann Arbor last week.
Yeah.
I
didn't know quite how to ease into that one, but it sounds like you had great seats.
Yeah, great seats to watch. Man.
I laugh with you, sir.
I think everybody after that game, you're just sort of resigned. You know, you're just sort of like, yeah, that's Nebraska. That's
is that
Nebraska.
Is that what it hit home?
Yeah, and this it was different. Before, you would feel sad and angry, you know, kind of a mix of sad and angry.
That was reality.
Yeah, get these coaches out of here. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the culture. Ah. Can't say that now.
Nope.
You know, they're fine from that standpoint. They're practicing better. You know that they're addressing all the things that we have harped on forever. They're addressing strength and conditioning. They're addressing practice. They're addressing, I mean, just name it, nutrition, on and on. There's a plan for everything now, and we all know that. And it still leads to that.
Here's the thing. The only way that the exhibition in Ann Arbor doesn't happen again is with this head coach and this staff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, as Coach Frost put it, hopefully it's rock bottom, the low point. Only way to go is up from there.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to go through that again. Nebraska fans who traveled to Ann Arbor included.
Yeah. You know what's odd about it, too, is despite the numbers they put up on offense, Michigan, I did not see them pushing around Nebraska's defense quite like you would maybe think. Other side of the ball, Nebraska on offense
got owned.
Michigan's D-line, 100% they got pushed around. They got just completely outclassed. Defensively, though, I think by now I've talked about it all week. Mm-hmm. But you see clear as day, even if you don't know football that well, even if you don't know what the play call is, you see clear as day, dude's not in position. You know what I mean? Like, you saw
overrun, you saw bad angles, you saw
crazy.
A misstep or two. And the one that sticks out to me, and this isn't to pick on Dedrick Young, but second or third play on offense after the interception,
meet that guy in the hole.
Run gap to fill, and you take two bad steps or you go a wrong way or two.
That's a senior.
And what you have is the guy in Higdon hits the hole 1,000 miles per hour by step two and gone.
Yeah. But that's what was most disappointing there is, like, after a few weeks, I think you had come to depend on the defense.
Right. You felt good about them because they kept you in the Troy game. Played well against Colorado.
To be competent, at least.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we talked about it on the hit last week leading into Ann Arbor. Dude, special teams is absolutely atrocious. I mean, it is as bad of a unit, I think, that you've seen at Nebraska. You take offense, you take defense, you take special teams, you go back to 01 during the wandering years here. That's as bad of a unit as Nebraska's fielded, period. It is awful. It is costing them. It's not just costing them
points and field position.
It's not just a liability. It's not just a little thing you have to overcome. It's like, no. That is red alarm status. Like, you better be putting an hour in on that thing every day. Like, fix that. It is awful. They're not, especially when you can't count on linebackers to make fits, especially when you can't count on the offensive line to block people. You better get something out of that department, and instead they're going backwards. I mean, that is, I would say, out of everything, that's by far the most disappointing thing so far this year.
If you had to put your list together of fixes, pretend you're buying a home that is on a nice street, it's been ignored, and it's an old money region of said city. So you're getting bang for your buck. You know what it used to be 50 years ago. But instead, your neighbor's Jesse Pinkman, and it's not a great setup.
Yeah,
that's what you're moving into here. And what part of that home is special teams? Is it the rotted wood floor?
Oh, geez.
Is it the flooded basement? Is it the beat to hell roof?
Oh man!
I mean, pick a spot, and there's different levels of the home here to fix. What do you start with?
Oh my God!
As bad as special teams has been,
it's number one.
It's right there. I've got a tie.
What?
Between that and offensive line.
See, I don't know if I would go there yet because
at least you have the Colorado performance with the O-line.
At least you have the Colorado performance. And then I would also say, especially what we're going to hear from Christian Gaylord next. Now, fans driving around, of course you've heard of Christian Gaylord. You know, he was a pretty high-profile recruit out of Kansas. Hasn't played a whole lot. He's a junior now. Redshirt junior, I would think. I don't know that for sure.
Redshirt junior.
Yep. So this is about the time, by the way, in a healthy offensive line program where you would start to hear his name.
And you saw him against Michigan, and granted, things were out of hand, but that unit, Hickson and Miller and Sichterman and Wilson, and you had Gaylord at left tackle with Mazur running the football and Bunchy throwing it. Hey, at least they looked okay when it was 46-0.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, and so I think we should, you know, once we play that interview, we'll come back. We can talk about it. But I implore anybody driving around to listen to it, and it is so enlightening. There are some things that he said where I literally out loud just was like, "Wow."
Like, that's not the language you use, but I appreciate the
But honestly, jaw-dropping, like, wow. Like, wow. And when you hear it, you sort of understand why the offensive line is where it is, what Scott Frost is up against. You sort of understand it. You know, you're not sort of. You definitely do. You're like, oh, God.
It's very clear.
That's why when you hear this is going to take years, it's because it's worth a listen. Just say that. Now, here's the other thing about Nebraska's offensive line. We're probably over-rotating a little bit on how bad they are. A little. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's easy to forget, because whenever Nebraska goes against anybody, you're just sort of like, okay, Nebraska should be as good or better than this team. Michigan's defense is elite. Mm-hmm. They're not just good. They're not just very good.
Consider the context.
Yeah, they are elite. And you got Nebraska going in there with a, you know, a third game in the system. Right? It's like you can expect better results than you saw. Absolutely. I'm not excusing it. But Nebraska's not going to play a better defense all year.
You don't think so in Ohio State?
No, not even close. Ohio State's good. Absolutely they're good. But come on. Michigan's defense is and they've proven it year after year. You go back 3-4 years, look at all the stats, look at all the whatever. You can't convert third downs on those guys. You haven't been able to for 3 years.
You know, they get after the quarterback. Yeah. There's points off turnovers. Very few pass interference calls. They are great at locking you down man to man. The only thing that Michigan does poorly at times is they are not perfect. When it comes to preventing the big play.
If you get 150 yards rushing on those guys, I mean, start a parade. You know, it's not for real. They are tough to deal with. And that's not making excuses. Nebraska should have performed better. Mm-hmm. Duh. Of course. But, look, and that's sort of why I think about what else Frost did, which is I think he's facing a lot more than he realized he would, you know? And this is where I'm coming from. Do you remember leading into the season, he was on record as saying, you know what, I don't want to name full season captains. We'll probably change it week to week. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it sort of happened. He's like, well, it's tradition. We're going to name, captains for the whole year. Well, what if some of those captains end up not starting?
Well, you have one out due to injury today in Mick Stoltenberg.
And maybe for the year.
Yep.
You know, he'll probably be hampered most of the year. But you remember Scott's initial instinct was, I don't feel comfortable.
We got to set culture first before we name captain.
We don't need this unity council thing yet. We're not ready for it. I don't want to name full-year captain. But then he just went back on it and ended up naming full-year captains. All right, those dudes better be playing ball, and they better be starting, because what if your captains aren't doing that? So I think he's learning that part on the job. And then I think he's also just kind of learning, like, he's up against it, man. He's up against it when it comes to running his offense. And more so than I think he could have imagined. And
explain.
Well, I don't want to give away the Christian Gaylord stuff.
Sure.
I can't give that away. And then I think he also needs to figure out a way, and it's hard, that there is absolutely a loser's mentality somewhere in there. It doesn't reveal itself. It's probably not readily identifiable where you could just sit there and say, oh, it's that guy and that guy and that guy. You know what I'm saying?
This team hasn't – this is now a seventh consecutive loss –
Think about that.
This is part of a extension of 4-8. And you have a situation where, and Luke Gifford nailed it. Nailed it after Troy. Guys need to remember how to win. Yeah. That goes into the mentality. I mean, think of this mountain here, right? We did the home analogy. Well, the different stops on the old climb up the mountain. You've got psyche to deal with. You have depth development to deal with. You have fit to deal with. And then, by the way, what's on top of that peak is expectations. And Nebraska fans are supportive. They understand that it's going to be some transition. There's a long runway. And this is your guy to fix it. He'll get it fixed. But there's just been a whole world of problems. On top of the fact, this has been the season from hell. And they're already, I should say, they're only into it from an 0-3 standpoint, maybe 0-4 today. Purdue's a good football team. You had
1-3.
You had the game. Yeah, a 1-3 team. You had the game canceled due to weather, which screwed things up. You came out and did well against Colorado, probably despite what should have been. They probably played over their skis a bit against Colorado with not having a game prior. And then, all right, you almost beat Colorado. What's in that culture we're talking about? Well, you almost beat a good Colorado team. It's just Troy. Well, they slapped you. And then you go to Michigan, and after one quarter, you're down 20-0. And back to that loser's mentality, there's a number of guys in that locker room that are going to keep throwing punches no matter what the score is. But there's a lot of guys in that locker room that, when we talk about old habits, that old habit is to remember Iowa, or that old habit is to remember Ohio State, and just take punches versus throwing punches back. Yeah. And that is the reputation and word that's been out on Nebraska for 2 years. If you hit them in the face enough, they will fold. Yeah. And that angel and demon on each shoulder is something Scott's trying to eradicate, that demon part.
And he's just facing things that are difficult for anybody, but especially difficult in year one, especially difficult at your alma mater, especially difficult as a young coach. So you had the Jebbia situation. You have the Akron situation.
You got the injury to your star quarterback.
Of course.
This is the first normal week of practice and prep they've had since Colorado.
I think Frost is befuddled somewhat. I don't think he quite knows what to do yet to turn this around. Let's look at this example.
I think
example.
He knows how, but this is a different
Let's look at this example.
Though. Mess.
What did he say after the Michigan game? What sort of message is he sending to the team when he doesn't trot Martinez back out there and Bunch starts the second half? Martinez could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't because of his injury. It was because, well, this game's already over.
Game's over. It's a bludgeoning.
What did he say 2 weeks, two or 3 weeks before that, though? When this team is down, I want them to fight harder. I don't want them to ever give up. I want them to play 60 minutes, right? Like, that's his whole mantra.
Never die.
Yeah, you always, you go hard all the time. You play a full 60 minutes. Yet at halftime, you white flag it? I'm not saying that to say Frost is the wrong guy and that was a big mistake. But
it's conflicting messages. That's weird.
That's strange.
Change your mind and go, this isn't going to get any better. This is brutal. Let's not get number two hurt again because no one's blocking anybody.
At all. But so, what does that say? What does that say, though? I mean,
that's on his O-line. That's a message to his O-line. You guys have done such a piss poor job against a great defense that we're not gonna throw our quarterback to the Lions in the second half.
Look, dude, I'm not saying I entirely disagree with the decision.
You just saying
because it was.
It just the message changed because of the situation.
It was over, right? But to actually acknowledge that at halftime, and to send a message to the team that Martinez is more important than Bunch, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to, hey, everybody has an equal chance. I'm just saying he has been faced with some weird situations. That's a weird situation. He had to actually sit there at halftime in the Big House.
And decide.
And decide whether or not, like, weigh the pros and cons. Like, do I stick with what I try to preach to these guys all the time by saying you never give up, you always fight, you fight harder? Or do I get my quarterback broken in half? I think we'll break Bunch in half instead of Martinez. Right? Like, what?
Or here's the other take. Adrian's already been injured. Bunchy needs reps if he has to go again. Why not get it against this fierce defense? There is a previous example of sitting your star quarterback in the second half.
Yeah, but that's usually when you're on top by 30.
No. I'm talking Frost, and Frost wasn't the head coach. But remember the year Oregon played Ohio State for the national championship?
Okay.
There was a weird Thursday night pink-out game at Autzen. Mm-hmm. And Rich Rod and Arizona rolled in there and dropped 60.
Mm-hmm.
They killed Oregon during the pink-out game on the road. This is probably late September, October. Mariota didn't play in the second half. It was out of hand. So that move has been made before.
Okay.
Not necessarily by him as a head coach, but the backup was in because this thing was a it was a flogging.
I'm just saying, what kind of weird – I'm not saying that to criticize him.
I'm saying
what the hell is that situation? That is a weird situation. That is a weird decision to have to make at halftime. All right,
that's more not a reflection on Bunch. That's not a waving the white flag. That is a message to his offensive line and a captain on the offensive line and another senior at center and another senior at guard.
Yeah, could be.
That's the message.
Could be.
That is the message. It's not
saying, you guys aren't giving us a chance. You're just not giving us a chance, and so I'm not going to risk
the result. I'm going to pull my guy, and it's on you guys.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's a lot. The whole thing about the honeymoon ending and whatever, people are obviously still, you know, if you took his approval rating, he's still 99.9%, of course. But it is pretty remarkable how many different circumstances and scenarios he has had to face like that.
Already.
You know what? Like,
on top of this fishbowl.
Yeah, so quickly. So quickly. In a month, basically in a month and a few days, whenever Jebby announced, it has just been a domino effect of crap that has happened. And so he's facing a lot. And, you're in danger. I don't think you're in danger of losing the team, because I think the team and the individual players understand the level of support that he has. And I think the way they treat guys in general.
They care about him.
Right. I think the way they treat guys in general will make it to where you don't, quote-unquote, lose the team. But you do run the risk of guys losing interest. Right?
Well,
you run the risk of guys losing interest in just saying, you know what, no matter how hard I work, it doesn't matter. It doesn't pay off.
But they've had – they need to man up a little bit themselves and decide to keep fighting or check out. Today is a great opportunity to figure out where the rest of the season goes, okay? Mm-hmm. You lose today, you're not probably going to a bowl game. It's going to be hard to go to a bowl game if you win today.
Yeah. And you're going to Madison next week.
But at least you're still alive. You have a chance to get some momentum created today. But if it doesn't look any better from a passion and energy standpoint, if you're not fired up to play, then it is time to usher in your freshmen and sophomores and just sit these seniors that aren't doing the job. Yeah. What do you say? Can't do it or won't do it.
Yeah. See, there is some. I think it's more won't than can't.
Absolutely.
You know? And
guess why? Because they never had to do it before.
Yeah.
And they're being held accountable to do whatever it is.
There's more won't than can't. Is Young capable of filling that hole and tackling that running back?
Young looked good against the Buffs.
Yeah. Is he capable of filling that hole and tackling that back? Yes. So that's not a can't thing. He's fast enough. He's strong enough. He's played enough. He can. He didn't. I don't know why. And he's not the only one. Like,
right.
There are other guys. And same with the offensive line. I mean, what are we talking about with offensive line? Like, we talk about the passion and the fire and the fear. But literally, that's what you're talking about. Like, there was a point in that game where it was obvious they went to the line and knew it wasn't going to happen for them. Mm-hmm. You have to have that sort of defiance about you. You know what I mean? I think old Nebraska teams were characterized by that. Like, they did not give an F. You know what I mean? They were – you might stop them for a while, but they just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming.
There was some resolve.
Yeah, you don't see that. You just don't see it.
It's Mark Kranak.
And how do you disinfect the program from that?
You put new parts in.
Yeah, maybe.
It's Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. We're here in the Rail Yard, Hail Varsity Weekend, BTN tailgate just across the way from us as they get rolling at 9 o'clock. Pinnacle Bank Arena is where they're set up. We're here till 9. And don't forget, Real Red Reaction right after the Nebraska-Purdue game. Myself, Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, and Willie J. will take your thoughts and calls right after Nebraska-Purdue. I want to tell you about your friends at Madonna Proactive.
Get that O-line in there.
I'll take them with. The biggest sale of the year coming up with Madonna Proactive. Join now. Pay nothing till January. All you got to do, dial up your friends at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road, 402-420-0000, or get online, madonnaproactive.org. And when it comes to your membership, it includes an incredible medical fitness facility, consultation and follow-up with certified personal trainer, one-hour session with a wellness coach.
Good. And,
and a consultation with a registered dietitian.
That's perfect.
130 classes.
Yep.
Offered.
Yep.
Strength
is
machines.
Run blocking one of those?
They have a track upstairs and they have cardio equipment downstairs. The hammer strength machines are incredible. The basketball court would make Mark Kranak blush from 3-point land. Oh. Three pools, sauna, hot tub, and the best folks in the business.
Blocking sleds?
Maybe. They have pickleball.
Okay.
That helps with the lateral footwork on an outside rush. So, Madonna Proactive, pay nothing till January 2019. Make the call today. Stop by for your tour. Great folks, incredible fitness facility, Madonna Proactive, madonnaproactive.org. Timeout, and then we'll have a chance to hear from Nebraska offensive tackle Christian Gaylord. He sat down with Hail Varsity Radio as we're here in the Rail Yard. Nebraska, Purdue coming up as Hail Varsity rolls forward, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
A few minutes here on Hail Varsity, Christian Gaylord with us, and let's talk about Saturday, and your unit got in, and successful touchdown drive, but the first three quarters were extremely tough. How did you deal and cope with what went on Saturday, and then what was your mindset when you did take the field?
When I took the field, I just wanted to contribute as much as I could to getting a score. Of course, it was a pretty, I wouldn't say sad, but it was like a disappointing for us to go out and perform the way we did. But there's a lot of things that we took out of it that were positive. Just one more guy that we needed to block, then we would have sprung out for a big run, or just getting guys down, hands down. I think we could we can take a lot of positive from this game and roll on and go on toward Purdue and just be really, really a strong unit going into Purdue, and we're excited.
Christian Gaylord's with us here a few minutes on Hail Varsity. You can't be happy about the outcome, obviously, but there are things you need to look forward in moments like that, correct, that you can build on. And how's Coach Austin in the group, that offensive line group? What steps have you seen so far to rebound?
Well, we're always prepared to rebound. Even if we do well, we're just going to look at what we did well and continue to do that. Of course, it was a rough game, but we want to take everything that we can learn from that game and build upon it. Coach Austin's always teaching us technique and footwork, and he's always telling us what we could do better and like the small details. And I think that's one of the best things that he can do, is just details leads to bigger aspects of the game. And even when I did get in the game, I tried to focus on those details because I wanted it to be as physical as I could be and just have fun doing it, because it was quite a while since I was able to get in a game like that. And being able to be in that game, it was a reminder how much I love this game and how much I want to give towards this game.
You've had to grind quite a bit. You're a junior. You're a guy that's in the mix, and you're striving for more playing time. Take me through a bit of your journey, how you've stayed with it, how you've stayed hungry, and you've stayed optimistic. Because, again, when kind of your offensive line group was in, really well done against Michigan. Missouri got loose. You got the touchdown on the board. That's all positive.
Mm-hmm. It's very positive. And actually, Missouri's my roommate, so I was a little bit excited when he got in there, and I was able to get a block for him to get in. But my journey's been interesting. It's been full of roughs, full of downs, but at the same time, I've always prayed to God, and I hope that he has me on the right path, and I feel like he has. Because there's been many times where I'm like, well, should I go somewhere else? Should I continue my career somewhere else? But I'm glad I've been able to stay here, because this coaching staff is putting us in the right direction. And I'm incredibly blessed to be a part of it and just to be at the start of something great. Because this year we're going to get better. Next year is going to be a ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. But right now we're looking at this as, oh, we're going to attack Purdue. And we're just going to go out there and be as physical as possible.
How much back and forth has happened with you as far as thinking about going elsewhere to play and staying? What ultimately has made you stay? Can you circle one thing or another?
I grew up a Nebraska fan, so I've always think that, like, my family, we're not quitters. We always continue and to strive and to grind. Even with high school, I've always been a pretty big kid, but I was tall and lanky, but I viewed it as like I could put some muscle on, put some meat on, and I could use my size to my advantage. And even going to college, I am decently tall, but at the same time, it's not high school. I still need to put on muscle mass and get stronger, and I need to have the mentality of a dog and go out there and be as physical as possible, which I still feel like I need to continue on. And even when I do get out there to contribute to the team, I need to be a dog and be as physical as possible.
That, from a mentality standpoint, I remember talking to you during signing day, and the attitude was you were one of those dudes that were kind of a throwback where you loved mixing it up on the line of scrimmage. That's a strength of yours, is the physical part. From the finer point aspects, the technique side, what's that been like for you with all the transition that's gone on since you started at Nebraska?
Well, it's been different. So with the pass sets, I feel like over the past 3 years, I've developed my pass set a lot more from where it used to be. And having the mentality of being an animal and being as physical as possible, that's been difficult for me, just because you need to do in, rep in and rep out, and I can't take plays off when, even in practice, like, you need to go in and be as physical as possible. And sometimes that's difficult to do, but having that mentality of like, okay, I need to do this and over again, so I can get that look from a coach, be like, yeah, he is putting in the work. And I feel like I have been doing that, but I just need to continue to do that.
What feedback have you gotten from your peers or from Coach Austin?
My peers have been telling me that I have taken a major step from last year with the old coaching staff, I didn't get as many looks as I did.
Let me interrupt you for a sec. Did you get much practice time last year?
No, I did not. I probably only got maybe 5 reps of practice, but that's in the past. I'm not looking at the past anymore. So, like, with now, like, I'm getting many more reps, as you have heard and seen, and it's a lot more enjoyable, I would say. I mean, this is probably the first time I've actually enjoyed putting on that helmet and going and smacking somebody for quite a while, and I'm just blessed that, you know, I've had this opportunity that I've had.
A couple more minutes. Christian Gaylord's with us here on Hail Varsity. So who kind of woke up that love for the game again?
I'd say Coach Austin woke it up again. He gave me the opportunity just to go out there and play with no fear of failure. And with this old coaching staff, I was scared to fail, because if I only got 5 reps, if I had a mishap in a rep, that's like my whole practice, and my confidence would be shocked. And that developed a high level anxiety with these old coaches. And that's something I've had to deal with. Like, I meditate, I pray, and to go out there and just have a mindset where I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. I'm all right. Let's get this done. And I think Coach Austin has developed that out of me, and I just want to continue to prove to him that I am a good player, and I will do whatever I can to help contribute to this team.
Is confidence as a whole something that has been addressed by the coaching staff after Saturday, or are guys still confident that, all right, there is bigger and better out there? I'm not saying if guys checked out. I'm just saying it's been a while since this team has won.
I mean, we're always confident. I mean, the way the year started out, it's, you can say that, you know, it wasn't the best for us, but we always need to come out and have the drive of like, yes, we're a Big Ten team. We're Nebraska. There's so much tradition here, and we're lucky to put that N on our chest and be like, this is us. So yes, it's not really that we don't have confidence, but we just need to get that first win and to get this thing rolling, because once this thing starts rolling, once this train rolls, there's no way you can stop it.
What do you love most about the offense?
It's fast. So back in my high school, we ran a really up-tempo offense. And so it's a lot of fun just going back to not really my roots, but just like being a part of it again.
Familiar?
It's really familiar to me. And it's a lot of fun just like getting that up-tempo and catching defensive off their feet. But one thing we need to continue to work on is getting that tempo going and move it faster, because there's times when we're not moving as fast as we want to. But we can, and I feel like we can catch a lot of teams off their feet.
Coach Frost has mentioned that practices aren't as consistent maybe as he wants, and he touched in the post game on last Thursday's practice. What do you think's missing in practice, and how close are you guys to maybe hitting that mark that's more acceptable to him?
What is missing? I think what's missing is just the mentality of, okay, I'm a little tired, but that's all right. Because if I'm tired, then the defense that we're going against is going to be way more tired, because they're not used to that tempo and that speed that we have. So I think what's missing is that we need to continue with that up-tempo and just to finish our blocks as well. I feel like we're going to be very prepared going into this weekend. We're very excited to play Purdue, because Purdue is a great team. They beat Boston College. And we don't look past any team. And we're just going to go out there and have a great mentality of, like, we're going to go out there and give it to them.
Last thought, Christian. So fair to say spirits are okay, mm-hmm, heading into Nebraska and Purdue this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Spirits are high. We're always a positive team. We love our brothers. We're always going to be there for each other. Even if we harp on one another, it's just because we care. And we just want everybody on this team to buy in, just go out there and play as hard as we can.
Has there been question of that? I mean, it's been brought up, yeah, but from your aspect, from your view, is buy-in more about just doing the little things versus the big picture?
I'd say it's the small details, because the details that are small lead up to something bigger. But we're accountable for each other. We're going to continue to get our brothers into, you know, where they need to be, like whether it's class or a meal. That's small details, and that leads onto the field. So just being able to get those details cleaned up, I think it's going to be a lot better for the team as a whole.
Christian, best of luck this weekend. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, weekend edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Brainack, high above the rail yard as we're here outside the Hale Varsity offices, weekend edition. BTN gets rolling at 9 o'clock. Coach DiNardo and company on set just in front of Pinnacle Bank Arena, so get on down. A little bit cloudy and cool and a bit damp, but guess what? It's football weather. And Nebraska, a chance to get in the win column. Many thanks to Christian Gaylord.
Oh, my God. We can spend the whole show on that. I hope anybody tuning in now just heard that. If you haven't, you got to catch it on the podcast later. Do you understand what Frost is dealing with now?
Mm-hmm.
Christian Gaylord confirmed
development issue.
Oh, my God. He confirmed what we have been thinking for a long time. He was just on record saying he got 5 reps per practice under the old coaching staff. Let's do some quick math. So during the season, you get basically, what, 4 practices and a walkthrough?
Yep.
Essentially. So he got 20 reps per week. Let's multiply that by 12 because under Riley you don't make bowl games that often. So you're getting 240 reps during the season as a backup offensive lineman. You get that in 3 days under Frost. In
it gets
3 days.
You better.
So let's think about the offensive line that trotted out against Michigan last week, against one of the most elite defenses in the country. You trotted out an offensive line that had been getting all the reps, were not held accountable for weight training, were not held accountable for nutrition for years, and running a very passive, pass-heavy offense. Behind them, 15 to 20 other guys also not held accountable for strength and conditioning or nutrition, and just atrophying on the sidelines, getting as many reps as me and you
on
during practice.
On top of the fact that they went after pass blockers, not run blockers, Gaylord, that's what he was exquisite at in high school, veer option offense.
So that offensive line that was on the field last week, yes, they're veteran. They have not been pushed. They have not been held accountable their entire careers. Behind them, a bunch of guys that are just chilling, watching practice. Unbelievable. I mean, that was a jaw dropper. He talked about having such a high level of anxiety because he would only get those 5 reps, and if he screwed up, he talked about having
back to
pray to God and meditating to deal with it. That is the psychological mess that Frost has inherited. That is crazy. And I'm not saying this at all to criticize Gaylord. How the hell do you not give guys practice reps at, I don't know, practice? Like, really?
Pro style.
Dude.
Pro style mentality. That's your answer.
And you're going to go into Michigan and push around Rashawn Gary?
Not likely.
Come on.
Hour 2 coming up from the Rail Yard, weekend edition of Hale Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp. Back with more after this.
The Hale Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Krainak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
We're coming back, hour 2 at Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery outside here of the Hale Varsity offices, high above the rail yard, getting ready for Nebraska Purdue. We're less than an hour away from the BTN tailgate. Our dear friend, Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo, spent some time with us yesterday. He is on set. I would say Darren Erstad home run away from where we stand to the front of Pinnacle Bank Arena. Chris Schmidt, Mark Krainak. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt _ radio, at Danny Burke 5, the Pride of Chicago, myself here for the Real Red Reaction Show right after Purdue and Nebraska. One thing I need to try today is a Boilermaker. I've never had a Boilermaker.
Oh, what is that?
It's a shot of whiskey inside a beer.
Oh, well, yeah. You've never had that?
No.
God.
And I think it'd be kind of a cool on-air experiment, except that I remember, you know, Ron Burgundy and Anchorman 2 trying to try crack on the air, and that was illegal. He did not know that.
Oh.
So
yeah,
I don't know if they're
in
the same family.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, now, no, good to know. Can't smoke crack on TV.
Yeah, now you tell me.
Krainak, you're getting fired up because you're doing a concession, not concessions.
Yeah.
But a concession get-together with your little ones.
We're doing the whole thing, man. Big red hot dogs, Val's
beef
pizza,
Danny?
Cotton candy. I mean, it's going to be just like we're at the Husker game, except we're not. And by the way, I can't go to the Husker game. I just can't. I can't do it.
I've just got back from Ann Arbor.
You know, I've gone four straight weeks, including the rain out. Need a break, man. Need a break. Need a break from investing 8 to 10 hours of my day only to see that crap. Right? At some point, you just need a break.
I think you're being weak and sniveling, but that's okay. I still love you.
We'll stick together in all kinds of weather. Well,
it's a bit chilly out.
Yeah, it's a little nippy.
That's all right.
Define all kinds of weather.
Let's bring in a tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, you got a pot of chili on. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't have chili on. That would have been a good option for today. Should have done that.
Hey, Brandon, did you hear the Christian Gaylord interview that Schmidt conducted?
I did.
Did you have a similar reaction where you're like, what? How many reps per practice? You're doing meditation and praying to God now because of the anxiety? What? And this isn't to indict Christian Gaylord in any way. Just your general reactions to listening to that and what that made you think.
About exactly that. You know, you look backwards towards Nebraska and the fact that there was virtually no rotation on the offensive line for multiple seasons, which makes sense, a little more sense now if that was everybody's experience. You sort of look towards, they came into this season hoping to rotate more and haven't really done a ton of it. If you've got an entire second wave of guys who were maybe got less than 100 practice reps last year, that's a pretty significant problem. And it's going to take a while for Nebraska to kind of get that back up to a level that it probably should be at for most football teams.
For all the things we talk about what ails Nebraska and how they need to get off the schneid, is that sort of it? And when we talk about it's going to take years, you know, it'll take a couple years to really turn this thing around. When you isolate it to just that, the offensive line coupled with maybe the lack of accountability in the weight room and nutrition and all that, I mean, is that what we saw at Michigan, the results? Is that essentially why Michigan went like Michigan?
I think so. I mean, it's the largest portion of it. You know, this Michigan defense has been very good, and I think Nebraska got the grade A version of it last Saturday. It's super talented too. So it was kind of all of those things came together in the perfect storm for that to look the way it looked, which was Nebraska really not being able to do anything on offense for 2.5 quarters until Michigan basically put it in cruise control and became somewhat disinterested. Because, I mean, we've all seen some rough Husker losses over the past decade, specifically with some big time score totals. But that one last week stuck out to me for just the total lack of success Nebraska was having offensively. I mean, Adrian Martinez makes a play and then scrambles and gets a completion to Stanley Morgan Jr. on that first one. But, I mean, it's not like that's the way they drew that one up. And then you get the turnover on the next play and basically kind of undoes the lifeline Nebraska had just used on that opening drive. It was pretty shocking.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, I thought there was some really good design. Had the execution been there, I thought the game plan could have worked, i.e. the wide-open space Spielman had. The ball was tipped, intercepted, ball game, good night. The linebackers didn't have their best day, and a lot of times they were in position but maybe making a step or two wrong one way or the other. and some tackling angles. I mean, it was just a mess. From a psyche standpoint, do you worry about the team heading into Purdue today that if they do get down, because history says they will be in a hole, I mean, that's how the first three games have gone, do you worry about them being able to dig out?
No, not really. I mean, I guess that sort of fear is always there in the background a little bit, but I think being in a first year with a new coaching staff that's particularly player friendly, I think it's easy to get back, easier to get back up. They all know what's going on. They want to get a win, not just for themselves, but for these new coaches. So I don't come into this one thinking that'll be a particular problem. Now, we'll find out in a couple of hours, if Nebraska comes out a little bit flat, then you probably bring this question up again. But and that's going to be key. I still, like every other person who follows Nebraska closely, I wonder what this looks like if they can just play from ahead for a little bit. And we haven't really seen that at all at the start of games.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Is what ails Nebraska physical or psychological or both, but which one reigns supreme?
I think psychological might carry a little bit more weight for me. Yeah. Because in this game will be an interesting one, because you can look at the Michigan game and see the physical difference between the two teams right now. Purdue, you probably won't see that difference as much, but here the Boilermakers come as a favorite on Nebraska's home field. So you got to go to the mind part of it for me. And it's not so much, I don't know if it's learning how to win, however you want to put it. They need a little proof of concept, I think, early in this stage. And there's obviously, what have we spent a lot of time talking about with Coach Frost in these various press conferences, be it after the game or during the week. He's talking about the commitment to be the best you can be every day. I mean, that's a mindset that you have to build, because it seems pretty clear that was not the mindset they were asked to have in the past.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Frost pulls Martinez at halftime in Ann Arbor. Frost has also said weeks before that, I want a team that never gives up. I want a team that when they're down, they fight harder. What do you make of that decision? What message was sent or not sent due to that decision?
I don't know if there was much of a message sent. I mean, everyone kind of knew where that was at, and they have essentially two quarterbacks. Matt Masker is trying to get up to speed if he should need to play at some point this season. But I think it's not the losing bunch would be that much better, other than, Adrian, when he's healthy, is clearly the starter. It had gone so bad in that first half. You could see the quarterback did not have any time. And if Adrian Martinez is the slightly better option of the two, maybe not slightly, maybe significantly better option of the two, I think you got to do what you can do to keep him healthy. So I took that more of, not necessarily throwing in the towel so much as an acknowledgement of where Nebraska's quarterback depth is right now.
Vogues, you did a story yesterday, really enjoyed it, when it comes to a tale of two turnarounds. One still very much in progress. We've kind of outlined the distance Nebraska is at when you look at the Michigans of the world. Is it fair to say that Nebraska as a program right now is closer to Purdue, closer to Illinois, closer to Minnesota than a Wisconsin or an Iowa? Just looking, and I know the record's the record, but just you expect improvement as the year goes on, and you've seen a bit of a regression since Colorado. Where do you kind of place this team if we're looking at them on a Monopoly board?
Yeah, they're in the middle to lower tier of their division. So the teams you mentioned, you know, I think Illinois, everyone kind of agrees is at the bottom. Then you're somewhere, Nebraska's somewhere around probably Minnesota, Purdue right now, and a step behind Iowa and Wisconsin. I mean, you can look at the scores of those games last year. That's kind of where Nebraska came into the year, and they haven't done anything to show that they're not still there. And I understand why that's disappointing for people after three games, but it's not panic time yet in my mind. It's just, okay, they've only taken the first couple of steps in this journey. I expect there to be some more games by this point too, but it's okay. Nebraska will be fine long term. That was kind of one of the things I looked at yesterday. So much of these type of programs coming back is finding the right coach. And I think Nebraska has one of the best and brightest young coaches in the country. And for those reasons, plus their sort of historical clout, these programs come back. They do, even though it's felt like Nebraska may never do it again. Those are very, very powerful factors. But you can't just flip a switch with those things still, even if you're Nebraska or Alabama or Michigan or any of those schools.
Do you think Nebraska fans are at kind of a starting point again with this team? They'll support them. They'll love them. They cheer for them. That said, the acknowledgement that it's just not a very good program right now that needs to be built back up, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody with just this blue blood reputation where, well, you're Nebraska, and I know you can't just roll the helmet or ball out there and just show up and win anymore, but you've been brought to your knees as a football fan, because you just really are another program with a group of five teams coming in and rolling in consecutive years and beating you, let alone Michigan dismantling you. Do you think the Nebraska arrogance has been kind of knocked down a peg? And I mean that, arrogance is never a good word to use. I mean that lovingly, because there's been decades of supreme confidence in your program.
Yeah, there has, you know, and it's I think it's been tough. So, you know, Frost said it last week. How many times, I know I've written it multiple times over the past 5 or 6 years, that you kind of felt like Nebraska had reached the bottom. And then you go a little bit lower and find a new bottom. You know, it's a really interesting topic. Like, and I don't know, like, if there are any answers out there, only theories, but you kind of look at, I think part of the reason some of these really successful programs do bottom out more than once before they kind of get back to their historical winning levels is that, you know, it's really hard to feel like, I mean, wins are wins and losses are losses. Everybody understands that. But, like, everything around this program still feels like Nebraska football. You know, the stadium's full every week. You're on TV every week. I mean, I know every school is now. But all of those things, the only part that's not matching up is the one loss total. So I think there's a little bit of disconnect there. You know, it can take longer for you really to lose enough for it to feel like, hey, we're not Nebraska anymore. And that's something all of these programs have to kind of go through and learn for themselves.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, Brandon, this is more, as much of a comment as it is a question. I'm just curious about your reaction. But it feels like, you know, since Jebbia decided to leave, it has just been a coaching staff and a program dealing with extremes. So, one, Jebbia leaves. Two, you get the most anticipated debut maybe ever in the history of college football. That's Jerry DiNardo's words. I don't disagree. Gets canceled because of a storm. And then you got Colorado, and you got the debut of an amazing freshman, and then he gets hurt, and you somehow lose despite completely outperforming the other team, save for a handful of plays. And then you got Andrew Bunch, limited offense against a group of five team. Then you go and you play one of the top defenses that the game has seen over the past few years. It is today the day to get things just sort of leveled out and kind of normal, if that makes any sense?
I think it could be. You're right. You know, the off season was fiction in terms of everything was going according to the plot. The favored son returns home. You know, conquering hero. All of that stuff. And I mean, it wasn't fiction. It was, you know, all that stuff was true to certain degrees. And then you get to the middle of August, and all of a sudden you're reading nonfiction. Like, these are the things you can't control. injuries, transfers, horrible field position, all this stuff. Like, all of these things. Today could be, you know, it's an even matchup with Nebraska at home, and Nebraska is backed into a corner. So those are sort of its advantages. It could be a little bit of a volatile game in the sense that Purdue is kind of a big play offense. Nebraska's defense has been really good on most downs, but when it's busted, it's busted pretty big. So Purdue kind of strikes at what has been their weakness. But I do expect this to be a pretty good and entertaining game. That seems like it's pretty level. So it might be that chance. And if Nebraska can get a win, you know, lighten things up a little bit, I think you start to see at least the potential for a different season than what it looks like right now.
Who wins in Madison next week? I'm just kidding.
We'll talk to you next Saturday about that. Vogues, give me a prediction here.
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth. I think the line's pretty solid with this one. So it's 34-31 Purdue. You know, something along those lines wouldn't surprise me. But I think you add in the – I mean, Nebraska's in Purdue's spot a week ago. They're kind of in a gotta-win place, and, mm-hmm. and I think they'll do enough to get it done. So flip that to 34-31 Nebraska.
Beautiful. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, be good. Enjoy your day. And thanks so much for a few minutes, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brandon.
It. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. The laws of physics apply to you whenever you're in your vehicle. Your body's traveling at the same speed as a vehicle, even though you're just sitting on your butt. If that vehicle stops abruptly, whether it's a hard stop, a crash, your body will continue moving forward at that speed. Something's got to stop the motion, and airbags usually aren't enough. Do you want a seatbelt or a windshield to stop you? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury. When your vehicle is crashed into or you hit something and your body needs to slow down in a hurry, seatbelts help make that happen. That applies if you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Mark Kranach, Chris Schmidt, as Hail Varsity Radio on the road. Weekend edition just outside the Hail Varsity offices here in the rail yard. BTN tailgate gets rolling in 30 minutes. Real Red Reaction gets cranked up. And that will happen as soon as Purdue and Nebraska hit triple zeros. Myself, Danny Burke, Willie J. So we want to hear from you later after Nebraska wins. And if they lose, forgive me.
But program doesn't know how to win.
Kranach?
Destined to lose every game.
It'll get turned around. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will tell you why Hail Varsity continues. Sharpie's up next, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranach.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Weekend Edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach. Kranach, you had your camera ready. You're watching a gaggle of seagulls?
A flock of seagulls, flock. Of course. Okay. Literally a flock of seagulls. I'd say a good 1,000?
Probably.
Flying over Lincoln, and I'm just like, you know, seagulls. Ooh. You're nowhere near the, sea. So these are like the redheaded stepchild seagulls. They got kicked off the coast.
You can't live in Florida.
It's like, here, you guys are, it's kind of like they, you know, Brits being sent to Australia. They get sent to Branched Oak.
Okay.
Or Capitol Beach.
Yeah.
Like, Capitol Beach, that's a sea, right? Like, no, it's not.
Them and the midges can live together. BTN tailgate going on.
Well, if you think about it, though, they are flying south.
Sure.
Which makes total sense.
BTN tailgate gets rolling at 9. Coach DiNardo and company, just a Darren Erstad home run swing away. We're here high above the rail yard. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, how are you, brother?
Good. Hey, I didn't realize that. I mean, that must be a big deal. You got the BTN is in town and the Flock of Seagulls is playing. Is that what I just heard?
No.
You
didn't hear it right. No. Like actual birds. Actual seagull. Oh. I didn't realize there were this many. You know how you occasionally see a seagull around? You're like, huh, that poor guy. He got separated from his buddies at the ocean. But no, there's thousands of them here. And they just all flew over. They're heading south.
See, they're confused. We're confused why Nebraska's 0-3.
No one knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Sharpie, what's your takeaway from last week and how you feeling about today? Do you think it's been a good week for the team?
Well, let me first address last week. I think now you go back and you listen to some of the comments. Scott Frost knew that Michigan was coming. He knew there were some things that were not good in game prep during weeks for that game because he said it would hit bottom, and boy, did it hit bottom last week. I think as you step back away from that game, though, and it was embarrassing. You don't run the football at all. You get beat 56-10. You're down 39-0. You have mistakes all over the map, especially on special teams. I think if you take a step back and look at it, there were certain elements that Nebraska felt really good about their game plan. I think Ryan Helt spoke about it earlier in the week before Michigan. You know, he went with the whole Rocky reference because the offensive coaches liked their game plan. Not that they were going to win the football game with the game plan, but they liked some of the things they did. And if you go back, they had some new elements to their offense, whether it be the speed option or some of the routes the receivers were running or some of the things they were doing with guys out of the backfield. It just got blown up right away. By the way, Michigan was manhandling the offensive line. You look at that, though, and you think, okay, what has this season been? You're 0-3, and essentially in one game you've been able to use your game plan that you've worked all week to put in, and that was against Colorado. You scrapped it against Troy, and you basically scrapped it after three series against Michigan. So today's a whole new day. I really wasn't interested to hear, hey, did we have a good practice this week? You know what? You're reaching game number four. There are guys on scholarship for a reason. I don't care if it's buy-in or culture. Play football. You are here to play the game of football. There are simple football things like lining up correctly, communication, that have nothing to do with buy-in or culture or any of that other stuff. That has to do with simply, you're a good football player or not. What is your football IQ? And that's why I think today, and I feel good about Nebraska today because I think I like this matchup a little bit better, is I think as coaches, you kind of today step away. I mean, you need a win. Everybody needs a win to feel good. Doesn't change what's going to happen the rest of 2018. Doesn't change what's going to happen in Madison next week. But it changes at least for a day that for all of your training that you trusted, now you've got a positive result. I think today is one of those days where the coaches kind of, they step back, and this is a player's game. Guys have talked this week about, okay, we got to get everybody focused on the details throughout the week. Now it's the player's game. Let's see if that holds true, because if you don't win today, you probably start thinking about some of the younger guys getting more quality reps moving forward as you get into October and November.
Do you think we see more of that, though? I mean, do you really think we do? You look at, you know, last week at Michigan, you brought in a line change on the offensive line. You saw Wyatt Mazur get some playing time. Deontay Williams is making a case to play more. Cam Taylor continues to compete at a high level. Do you think we're entering that stage where you will start to see maybe not a hockey line change, wholesale personnel changes that you'll notice over a given week, but gradually as we go along, you'll start to see some of those replacements?
Well, I think you'll start to see today for guys that you mentioned, Mark, that they trust. Like Deontay Williams only played 36 snaps in three games. He's got to play more. When he's on the field, he makes plays, and he's also – He's the kind of guy what Nebraska needs right now. It's like a game-changing play on defense where you get a pick six or you get a jarring hit that causes a fumble. He's one of those guys. I think slowly you could start to see more of an integration of the younger guys that maybe we haven't seen yet, but trust is a big thing with this staff. If they can't trust you during the week to line up correctly, even if it's in the fourth quarter or to do things the right way, they're not going to put you out there on Saturday. But what I'd really like to see, and I think this is important for Nebraska moving forward, not only for the rest of this season but 2019, is how do the backup offensive linemen develop? Because there's a real opportunity, I think, for a couple of guys, and it's amazing, their walk-on underclassmen to get more quality in-game reps. So that's something to watch as we move forward. Maybe we see a little bit of that today.
Gary, it's funny you bring up the in-game reps and the backup offensive line. Did you happen to catch Chris's interview with Christian Gaylord?
I did not.
Okay. So, quick recap, sort of the headlines, and I just want your reaction to this. And you sit next to a guy all week, Damon Benning, who gets a lot of access, and so this might not be news to you, but I just want your reaction. Christian Gaylord, in his interview with Chris, unprompted, basically, brings up that he got about 5 reps per practice under the old staff. 5 reps. And when that happened, if he messed up, it created such a level of anxiety among him and his fellow line mates that he's he's been practicing meditation. He's been praying more. he feels better now.
Yeah.
Played last week. I'm just curious about your reaction there when you consider that the backup offensive linemen were getting essentially 240 practice reps per season once the season kicked off, which you get like in 3 days under the Frost regime. Just curious about your thoughts there.
Well, that's why guys haven't been able to develop guys. I mean, that's good on Christian for admitting that, because I could see that as well. Because what happened if last year, with an injury and a quick change, Christian Gaylord's got to go into the game. And you're like, I'm not sure if I'm ready, not physically, but just am I been prepared for this? I think that's one area. Like, if you're trying to look through things to try and find positives moving forward as this program takes the next step, is guys don't have that anymore. Guys feel like they are prepared to go into a football game if an Adrian Martinez immediately goes down or another starter goes down. That when there's a scramble on the sidelines, all right, where is Gaylord? He can put his helmet on. He can run to the game, and they're not going to miss a beat. That's what development starts, is when guys, Monday through Friday, are getting those reps where they feel good about their performance, and they're getting better. That's probably, we knew some of that, but good on him for mentioning that and let us know that that can't happen anymore. I mean, that's amazing. In a place like Nebraska, where the offensive line has really been hit or miss for about 5 to 10 years, that's a little startling. But I can tell you, that's not the case anymore, and that's why you have guys like Hunter Miller, Trent Hickson, Bo Wilson are ready to go right now because they are getting those quality reps in practice against a pretty good defensive line that's getting them ready for Saturdays.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, what's your gut tell you about seeing changes on the offensive line? Is it a situation today where, okay, if Nebraska's scuffling and there's penetration and there's not much success on yards per carry, where you may see Hunter come in, or do you move Farmer over to center and put Bo in at guard? I mean, the question I have with Bo, and it's not his talent level, but is he ready to go more than 20 plays? I mean, what's your take on the mixing and matching or the adjustment you could see on that line of scrimmage for Nebraska?
Well, you can't punt 2018, and you got 3 senior interior guys that played a lot of football. So you have to find a way that they have success every Saturday. Now, I think they'll have success today because that's not a Purdue front 7 that's walking in here that looks like they're going to be playing in the NFL. I'm wondering why. There's a lot of people that are afraid to go there. I'm not. Guys, mold this about yourself. What would a Gerald Foster look like sitting out a couple of series and just watching from the sideline? Mm. You know, we always talk about, got to get Conrad out of there, move Farmer to center. Nobody ever says, man, maybe Gerald Foster ought to take a little breather and let's see what it looks like at that guard spot. Mm-hmm. I think that's something to consider, because guys that are older on this team that have done a lot of talking for the last couple of weeks, time to play football on Saturday. No more talk. You're a good enough football player. Go play football on Saturday. And Nebraska really needs Gerald Foster to play like we have seen him play. His problem has been consistency. So he's got to play. If he can't play, I don't care if he's a captain. You got to get the best 5 people on the field out there on your offensive line to play. Because I don't know about you guys, but even Lombardi told me this, Vince Lombardi, that is.
Oh, he did.
That it's tough to coach. It's tough to coach a football team if you can't get 2 to 3 yards.
Yeah. Gary, you just mentioned the captain thing. It's a bit of a predicament. Do you think back to when Frost said, "Hey, we're not going to announce permanent captains," and then he reversed course a couple weeks later, and all of a sudden, permanent captains. It's a bit of a predicament he's in, though, right?
Well, I think in that case, he trusted his guys. His guys came to him as a team and said, this is what we want. And he was comfortable with it. But now he's here to win football games. And he doesn't want to end. I mean, we could end September. It's going to be 371 days when Nebraska walks into that stadium today since they won a home football game. You could have the month of September end, and you're like, boy, this feels just like November of 17 in Riley's last month. You don't want that. So Scott's going to find any angle to get the best players on the field or the guys that are on the field to push them to get to the level that they need to be at. But I think you're going to start to see, and this goes back to our previous discussion, Mark, about maybe some backups getting more. There's got to be consequences. You miss the details. You miss mistakes. You don't play well. There's got to be consequences that, you know what, it's a privilege to start. It's not your right. And you have an obligation as well to uphold that you're going to do the right thing. But with all that said, I do think the offensive line will respond well today with Adrian Martinez behind them. But the crazy thing about playing Purdue is the last 5 years, Nebraska has averaged under 4 yards per carry against Purdue. They've done a great job, regardless of who the head coach is, shutting down Nebraska's running game. I mean, last year, Nebraska only ran 40 yards. That changes today. I think that offensive line comes out and responds. Doesn't mean everything's fixed, but I think they respond. But if they don't respond, then I think you'll start to see some new names on the back of jerseys that'll get some in-game reps.
A few more minutes here. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, a thought here on containing more for Purdue. Blau is playing at a high level as well. He's mobile. Talk to me about the black shirts and how they do enough to win today.
Well, I think you have to, first of all, you have to be good on the edges. I think you have to play smart, sound football, and you've got to tackle more. When you get the opportunity to make a tackle on him, you got to bring him down. You can't have him slip through your arms and go another 10, 15, or take it to the house. He's one of those special guys. I think if you look at Nebraska thinks they have a more on their roster as well. One of those guys that you can line up all over the place, can run jet sweep, can run out of the backfield, is in your return game. That's Miles Jones. Because of injury, we haven't seen much of Miles Jones. But Moore is electric. That's a guy that can help kickstart your program if you're a place like Purdue. You win a big recruiting battle for a kid that went to your high school in Jeff Braum in Louisville, and then you start to build around him because he is exciting. He's one of the most exciting guys in the Big Ten right now. But it's got to be today. You can't let him slip. You got to make a tackle on him if he gets the football and bring him down because he'll go for big chunk plays. That, I think today is one of those. The one thing that scares me most about the Purdue offense, and they're going to make some plays, and they've got a veteran quarterback that's going to make some throws, is I just have visions of David Blau running down the field unimpeded. I mean, we've seen that before. That we've seen that actually two straight weeks. That's one thing that scares me because he's not a guy that's going to take off the run. He's a guy that scrambles. But then that scramble, as you saw a couple years ago, turns into a 50-yard run, and you're like, how did that happen? So Nebraska has to be really smart defensively today. They have to be sound. They also are going to see some power G, which you're going to have a couple of pullers on the offensive line that are going to have Knox and Jones running behind them. Nebraska's got to be violent at the point of attack today and then be sound football because this is a game that you can't make mistakes because those mistakes again turn into, oh boy, we're behind, and you know how Nebraska deals with adversity. I think one of the biggest things to watch today, of course, is special teams. But remember, Purdue has not been great on special teams either. Last week they gave up kickoff returns of 60 and 40 yards. They had a personal foul on their kick coverage. They also have a place kicker that has missed 3 field goals, missed 2 extra points. So this might be a day where Nebraska shores up the special teams at least a tiny bit, and they win that battle. That's why whenever they get a chance today, Barrett Pickering has to be there to put points on the board if Nebraska can't put it in the end zone.
Gary, offense and defense, kind of, you sort of are what you are in some ways. It's difficult to make, I think, more than incremental improvements once the season kicks off. Special teams is not like that, though, right? I mean, that feels like something you could literally change in a week just with personnel changes and emphasis. Do you expect that to get better, or is Nebraska just sort of resigned to the fact that special teams is going to be a liability all year?
No, I think they're looking at, we got to win that phase, and you're right. That's maybe a place where you can get there quicker, and you would think that that would be an area that you wouldn't have to worry about coming into this year. They would at least be sound enough that Nebraska could win some field position, put some points on the board, flip the field a little bit. Hasn't been the case. I think you'll see changes today on special teams. They might be subtle, that are not so easily picked up watching the game. Might be on the rewatch or a coach mentioned something after the game. I think the coverage will be more sound and more lane integrity when you're on coverage teams, because it has to be. I mean, the Donovan Peoples-Jones punt return last week was straight out of Benny Hill. That was embarrassing. But they also need a big day and a smart day from Caleb Lightborn on where he punts the football to help the other guys, the other 10 that are coming down on coverage. I don't know if you'll see a new punt returner or not, but it has to be better there because Nebraska has to start to win that phase if they're still struggling in the other two phases.
Sharpie, we'll see you a bit later today. Thanks for a few minutes and your insight as always, man. Always appreciate having you on.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Gary.
It. Gary Sharp with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Weekend edition, we're outside of the Hail Varsity offices, high above the rail yard, just next to the cube. The BTN tailgate gets rolling at about 9 o'clock. And that's right in front of Pinnacle Bank Arena. So it's a great setup. Should be an amazing atmosphere. Bring a jacket and that big red hoodie. If you need some gear, Hail Varsity's office is open for the Nebraska t-shirt you've always wanted but do not yet have. You can log on store.hailvarsity.com. And our friends from Sauter Heyman want to remind you what's going on with them. And that's every girl dreams of a one-carat diamond. Sauter Heyman now offering a spectacular one-carat solitaire for only $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day. Show her how much you care and how much she means to you. Rick and the friends at Sauter Heyman can make that happen, whether it's for her first ring, an upgrade, or a chance to just make a move. And she needs more to her collection. It's real easy to do. You can find Sauter Heyman in Lincoln, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west with your friends in Grand Island. Log on today, sauterheyman.com. 1 carat diamonds right now at Sauter Heyman. A spectacular 1 carat diamond solitaire for only $100 a month. Make that happen now. A quick timeout. We'll wind down the Saturday edition. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
One final time on your weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You may be able to see our ESPN Lincoln tent, the backdrop of the Big Ten tailgate show. It starts in about 8 minutes. Coach DiNardo stopped by yesterday and spent some time with us talking Nebraska-Purdue as we were out at the Graduate. A reminder, Real Red Reaction. Right after Nebraska-Purdue, myself, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and Willie J will take your thoughts and calls. And I'm going to guarantee that Nebraska wins today.
What?
What's that mean? I don't know.
Nothing.
Nothing.
What are you talking about? Like, why do you think that?
Danny Burke seriously. Is shaking his head right now going, damn it, they are doomed. I think they win today. I think you'll get good offensive line play, quarterback play, defense will be inspired. And that's all I got for you.
I think Nebraska's playing a
beatable opponent, winnable game.
No, I think they're playing against a player. And Rondale Moore, that reminds me of the Colorado kid whose name is so crazy. I can't even think of his name now.
Chenault,
thank you. Leviscus, right?
DeSoto, Texas.
Those are some top-shelf players.
Guys.
Those are top-shelf players. I think he'll get loose today. I think Moore will get loose today. So how does Nebraska respond to that? Because if you think about the Colorado
Moore
game.
Moore got loose against Northwestern, and Northwestern found a way.
Well, but you know what was interesting about the Colorado game is Nebraska played a great game outside of turning it over early. Structurally, their defense was very sound, but Chenault just made plays.
He made a play because a safety was two counts late getting over the top to help one-on-one coverage.
Most of his catches, though, were highly contested.
Yeah. Guy made a play.
So what do you do if you're Nebraska today and you see that again?
Well, you got
to see a guy like Rondale Moore.
You
got to
step up on your side, and you got to counter him by making a play yourself.
Speaking of which, so Nebraska is going to be in nickel quite a bit today. Mm-hmm. And that means you're going to see more of Cam Taylor.
I hope, yes.
Deontay Williams has been pressing for playing time as well. So I sort of agree with Gary. Gary more or less said it. You're probably not going to see at any point this year Frost just, you know, sort of give up and say, oh, we're just playing all young guys, kind of like what Lovie Smith did last year with Illinois. It's like, we're just playing all freshmen. That's not going to happen. And that's not a smart way to go about things either. But I think over time you will start to see new blood come in. And what are they going to do? Because one thing you like about Cam Taylor and Deontay Williams, these hand-picked recruits, and, we said this from the get-go, I think one of the signatures of this defense is a highly aggressive secondary. Not just a little bit aggressive, but I thought that was the outside of your boy with the one hand last year, the linebacker, outside of Shaquem Griffin. What stood out to me the most by far was how aggressive and tone-setting the secondary was.
Mm-hmm. They were good.
You've seen that out of Cam Taylor. You've seen flashes from Deontay Williams. Those guys, when they hit, they mean business. So we'll see if gradually those people start to come in more, and you'll see if Nebraska's fortunes change along with it.
Absolutely. It's Mark Crane at Chris Schmidt here in the Hail Varsity offices above the rail yard. Catch us later. Real Red Reaction. Myself, Danny Burke, Willie J, reacting to Nebraska-Purdue on ESPN. Lincoln, we'll talk to you next time. Miss the show, get the podcast, hailvarsity.com or iTunes. Big Ten Tailgate kicking off next. It's Nebraska-Purdue. Have a great Saturday.